I do remark that I know a bit about again that I don't know anything about. No.
And the Village are the All-Ireland champions, 19 points to 14. Who said they couldn't win it?
You're very welcome along to this week's episode of the James Stevens Podcast. Coming up, we'll look ahead to the St. Canice's Credit Union Senior Hurling Semi-Final as we do battle with Shamrocks Ballyhale on Sunday at 3:15. Also on the way, we'll look back on a disappointing weekend for our junior hurlers and senior camogie team. We'll hear how the Seamus Fry tournament fared in Park Seamus Devon. And we'll get the lowdown on the Under-9 Kilmacud tournament. We begin in UPMC Nolan Park on Sunday, as James Stevens and Shamrocks Ballyhale do battle yet again in the senior semi-finals. Shamrocks Ballyhale have had the better of James Stevens over the past 4 years, with a county final victory, the pick of the bunch in 2022. But you don't have to go back that far to look at a James Stevens-Shamrocks fixture. Earlier this year in John Locke Park in Callan, Shamrocks Ballyhale pulled it out of the fire in stoppage time to eat into an 8-point advantage and draw the game. Will the match on Sunday be quite as entertaining? James Stevens senior camogie manager John Scott looks ahead.
Oh yeah, sure. Look, I think everybody knows the way the Shamrocks, to go through the league, to just take it kind of like as a training session, if you ask me. And come championship knockout stuff, they always seem to be able to turn it on. But I don't think our hurlers, they fear the Shamrocks. I think myself, that obviously they respect them and stuff like that because they're county champions. But I still think that our team are on their day are well capable of going out and giving the Shamrocks a good game. And see where we go from there.
Sometimes as a supporter, it's very easy to get into the doom and gloom attitude. I'm sure if you're Brian Cody, knowing that they need to improve in these areas, it's almost better in a respect than players maybe thinking they have it all worked out too early.
I think exactly. I know we'll end the 10 goals in the 2 games. I was at both of the games now myself, and some of them were just kind of just a fluke of a ball breaking here and there, and these things happen in the hurling. And as Brian and Joe and Peter there, I'd say they know themselves that they have to improve in areas of their game. And I thought the last day now against Ballycallan, I thought we were in some passes. I thought we were actually excellent. Our hurling was very good, top class.
Just even from a Shamrocks point of view, they were a different side against Dixborough. They almost went out to bully Dixborough to an extent and make it uncomfortable. And it's hard to see them changing that approach. So there'll be a number of different areas where the Village will need to win their battles.
Oh, yeah. Look, it's going to come down to, the battle of the 15-on-15. I think it's toe-to-toe with them and see, the same as you said, I think the Shamrocks nearly went out, and I think the bully the Borough myself, to tell you, I was the same thing. I was at that game as well, when you look back at it, you'd be saying how some of them stayed on the pitch. I know Paddy got sent off, or Paddy Mullins, but how some of the other of them stayed on the pitch. But I think our lads will step up to the occasion. We got to the county final last year, whether I know the Shamrocks bet is in it as well, but I still think we got to the county final, and I think we seem to be improving on every game as we're going. So hopefully this Sunday will be another step up.
Yeah, and it can be easy to forget as well that in the last number of years our league form hasn't exactly been top notch, but when we featured in the relegation semi-final last year under Seamus O'Dwyer, and all of a sudden things turned gradually, and just seems to be a feature of maybe of the structure of the league championship in Kilkenny. Teams don't necessarily want to overextend themselves too early.
Yeah, look, it is, and I know myself from the club, it is a long, long season with the way the inter-county and the split seasons and all this is going on, and it is a long season, and it's hard to keep a lot of the club hurlers interested during the summertime. I know some of them are travelling and stuff like that now, but when they do come back, it does take a while for them as well, to get, up and running to their full capacity, during the summertime, when they are training and stuff like that, you don't want to be pushing them too hard, because if you do push them too hard, like by the time the championship comes, they could be burnt out, you know. So I do think that we're kind of hitting a bit of form but right at the right time, as the same as last year, as we did, like, you know, so, which is good. Anything that we get to score, a scorable position, I think we have to take the scores, especially against the Shamrocks, like, because they don't, when they go for you, they go for the juggler. Yeah. So you kind of have to, anytime we get a chance to score, we just have to keep the scoreboard tipping away. And after the 60 minutes or whatever it is, 60, 65, 70 minutes, we'll see where we are.
And for all the talk of who the Shamrocks don't have, what they do have is it's not too shabby, John, and Mr. Reid and Mr. Cody on the edge of the square are quite capable of doing damage to any team on their day, as we've seen in Cannon.
No matter who, the Shamrocks are the Shamrocks, and no matter, as you said, no matter who they have, and all these people are talking about they're missing this one and they're missing that person, the Shamrocks, as you say, they'll keep on tipping away themselves, and the same as that, they always just keep the scoreboard tipping away, you know, and they'll just drag in teams into their kind of mentality, and that's it. And they'll just keep on scoreboard tipping away, and eventually then they always nearly seem to come out on top. But hopefully that will change on Sunday.
And finally, John, are you giving us the nod?
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course you'd have to. I think myself now, yeah. And I think a lot of talk was O'Loughlin's and Shamrock's final. And look, I think myself that the Bennisbridge as well won't be too far. I think the Bennisbridge and the O'Loughlin's will be a good old game as well.
And sometimes going under the radar, it's not always a bad thing.
Oh, no, that's the fair. Yeah, and the Shamrocks are going in as favourites, I think. Like, so I think myself is great to go under. The underdog is always the best bet.
Village selector Joe Hennessy is only too aware of the Shamrocks' threat.
Oh, sure, the Shamrocks are the Shamrocks. They're a hard team to beat. We went well for a while in it, and we're decent enough now. We're happy enough at times and fell away a little bit at the end. But sure, look at Shamrocks are the Shamrocks. And from here on now, I'd say, you know, they'll be still the team to beat. That's a genuine assessment. They're there, and, you know, the team that beats them will probably win it out. We're there with the rest of them, and by the time they're finished with us, we'll give a good account of ourselves.
James Stephens sharpshooter Owen Guilfoyle is looking forward to the challenge.
Yeah, sure. Ballyhale, they usually have their toughest games in Kilkenny. Obviously, no one knows who's going to be the team to beat them, if it even happens, but sure, we'll obviously be very confident that we can do it this year. We'll have to be confident. Every team is going to be trying to overthrow them. Sure, look, we'll see what happens anyway. Can't wait.
Supporters across the parish will be crossing their fingers keen Kenny can return for Sunday's semi-final, but the Intercounty Star is full of praise for selectors Joe Hennessy, Peter Butler and the great Brian Cody.
The three boys are after in such a tight kind of passion to us that we're such a tight group than we ever were everywhere before, like, you know, and you can see it in us because we're dying for each other on the pitch, we're killing for each other on the pitch, and that's because of the boys leading us on the sideline too. You have to be willing to do anything, you know, whether that's positional changes, personnel changes. So, look, Brian has experience, obviously, you know, and if he sees there needs to be a change, he'll do it, you know, and he'll do it for the better of the team, you know, like he always has and he always will.
And if you're from James Stephens and the St. Patrick's Parish, you don't have to go too far to find a Scanlon. Luke Scanlon has been to the fore for James Stephens all year, while Ryan Scanlon has been instrumental for the junior team this year and remains on the fringes of the senior panel. And it's no surprise that both Luke and Ryan are full of admiration for Brian Cody.
Everyone knows how good a record Brian has, I suppose.
Yeah.
He's been around the team a few of the years now, I suppose. Well, definitely since I've came on board senior. He's in a selector and stuff like that the last few years. So, look, he's manager this year. He's Peter Butler, who's kind of a fresh mind, I suppose, on board. And the great Joe Hennessy as well is there. So, between them now, they're clashing heads and coming up with good ideas and training.
Yeah, sure. It's great to have him, sure. He's the best there ever is, isn't he? Had him in primary school as a principal. To have him as a manager now, sure, it's the best experience you can ever ask for. It's great to have him back. And
turning to junior now, and James Stephens and Dixborough did battle in the final of the Section B junior competition on Saturday. The game was played in St John's Park, and there for us was Kieran Nary.
The JJ Cavan and Sons Junior Championship Section B County Final took place between James Stephens and Dixborough in John's Park on Saturday afternoon. The opening stages of the game was very cagey, and both teams are late on the free taking duties of Ryan Scanlon from James Stevens and Liam Brennan Smith from Dixborough. The crucial moment of the first half came where both teams received red cards, one for Evan Boogie for James Stevens and the other Tommy Farr from Dixborough. From here on in, it was 7 points apiece, and Dixborough drove it on to lead 10-7 at half time. The second half didn't materialise to what we had expected, and Dixborough were in full control. The crucial moment of the second half coming when a high ball in from Liam Brennan Smith looked like it was going to go over the bar, but hit, curled and hit the post and dropped back to the oncoming Sean Maher. He dummied his marker with his right hand side, turned and buried the ball to the back of the net to push Dixborough into a 7 point lead. From here on in was all Dixborough, with scores from the impressive James Carroll from midfield, Martin Gaffney chipping in with a brilliant point, which was followed by some great individual scores from Liam Brennan Smith. Aaron Murphy also chipped in with very impressive score, and it was from there on in was all Dixborough, who won in the end 119 to 11 points. Dixborough now go on to face Tullamore Ross Burke in the county semi-final, and will look to go one place better than they did last year, where they struggled to, on penalties, to overcome the challenge of Wayne Gap. Final score in John's Park, 119 to Dixborough, James Stevens 11 points.
The Village senior Camogie team bowed out of the championship at the weekend, losing out to Barrow Rangers on a scoreline of 14-19 in the senior Camogie quarter-finals. The Village girls played second fiddle to Barrow Rangers for much of the first half and trailed by 12-6 at half-time. Three of the Village scores came from Niamh Daly, with Caoimhe Moran chipping in with a point, and Sophie O'Dwyer converted two frees. The girls in red and green did get some joy when Rachel Lahey and Sophie O'Dwyer combined to set up Niamh Daly, who converted the ball to the back of the net. And that crucial goal reduced the Barrow Rangers' lead to 2 points. The team continued to perform valiantly, but they were unable to close the Barrow Rangers' gap and lost out by 2 points by the full-time whistle. So a disappointing end to the year for James Stevens, but manager John Scott is a proud man.
I know, look, overall, or kind of at the end of the year, we had such a good year last year in the intermediate, and to go all the way to the All-Ireland, Club All-Ireland, was absolutely brilliant. We just fell at the final hurdle, and we said it kind of after that game, which was right, it was actually Christmas week, and when we got back together, we kind of said, look, our aim this year is just to stay up senior, and like we actually managed that within three games of playing. We had that secure to stay up senior. So after that, look, everything was a bonus. And we got to the league final, which is great, and the quarter final of the senior championship, which is great for the first year to be up with the senior Camogie girls. Like, it's absolutely great achievement for the first year.
Yeah, and it was a unique thrill in many respects. Sometimes you don't know what to expect when you go up for your first year. I suppose now it's all about consolidation and making James Stevens a senior Camogie team, period.
Oh yeah, that, without a doubt, like that's the main aim now, is to have that Camogie team up there in 20 years' time. Even, you know, if we can just hold on to it now and just keep, and like we have a good little conveyor belt going there now. Like we're all the way up to under eight, under sixes and eights, training there every Monday night. Like, and if we can get two or three from every year coming up along, and with some of the other girls that are there, like some, like our oldest girl, I think, is only, well, I think most of the girls are only 24, 25, so like there's still a few years left in them. Plus, some of the girls that are coming along under 14s, they could nearly all be ended up playing with those girls by the time they finish, you know.
The fact that there's an inter-county spine, and I'm sure you know this through your work with the intermediates in the last couple of years, the couple of county players, be it at senior or intermediate, that's got to be a benefit to any club team.
It has, yeah. Look, it's great to have the girls involved with the inter-county. Sometimes, though, when... this year, no, I wasn't involved with the inter-county. I was only with the club, and I was pulling my hair out because they were all off training with the inter-county.
You saw it on the other side.
The other side of it this year. Yeah. But look, it's great. Like, and so when they're playing with the inter-county as well, they're getting, you know, great coaching anyway. So, and they're getting top-class games as well, so which brings them on leaps and bounds when they come back then to the club.
And the little bit of advice they can give maybe the younger club player, it takes a little bit of a burden off a manager as well, and it adds an extra dimension, I suppose, to the whole setup.
Yeah, it does, yeah. And I have to say one thing, though, about our girls that are involved with the inter-county, whether it be senior or intermediate, they come back, and when they are training with the club, they're always talking to our under-14s and our under-16s, and it's great to see. Like, and even sometimes, just to keep up numbers with our team, we actually train with the under-16s, and our inter-county players will all just mix in with the under-16s and train away, and like, they don't hold any graces or anything like that, like, which is brilliant as well. And some of the younger girls love that, and they thrive on that, seeing their inter-county players just, you know, fitting into an old drill there in beside them, and it's great to see as well.
We're turning to underage action now, and in a few moments we'll hear from David Harkin as we find out how our under-9s fared in the Kilmacud tournament. But first, I caught up earlier with Michael Fogarty to chat about the Seamus Fry tournament, which took place in Park Seamus D. Vaughan in the past week.
Yeah, we were looking forward to it all as summer, really. We'd be travelling to other counties playing tournaments, and there's always a great buzz around these tournaments, so it's nice to host one ourselves, you know.
It may be under 11 hurling, but some pedigree from other parts of the country coming to the Kells Road as well.
Yeah, look, it's nice because being a city team has its advantages in numbers, but it's a big disadvantage when you go to the country clubs, because, you know, they don't have similar numbers, and it's just nice to get other clubs in that would have everyone up to the age, like two 11-side teams, everyone up to the age of 11, and they're all the same speed, strength, and a fairly level playing pitch, you know. So the main thing is just to get away from playing the other city teams on too much of a regular basis, and then just to play someone new and challenge themselves, really, you know.
And I was only talking to David Harkin about that a little bit earlier, from, you know, the whole even under nines point of view. The lads of that age, they get almost maybe too familiar with certain clubs here in Kilkenny, and they meet a different style of hurling when they play clubs from other counties.
A different style, and no matter what, in fairness to Kilkenny hurling, we have a certain style, and one of the main attributes that you see. For example, we travelled up to Croke Park. We were lucky enough to get a day out around Good Friday, and it was open up to us, and we played Navan from Wexford. And say our four games, we won three, and one of our other teams, things didn't go according to plan for one or two players. That can happen. Any young lad, is all a learning curve. But look, we came out happy after winning, and the following weekend we were involved in the Dixborough. It was a tournament over in Dixborough for the CBS, and it was like night and day. We were playing Dane Swartz. Thomastown put up a big score against us, although both those teams only entered a single team, but we just felt like that it was night and day. So like, the standard in Kilkenny is so high. The truth be told, you go up and play a teams in Dublin, we get a fair crack at a whip. Everyone gets a fair run at it, and they have similar players and similar strengths. So come down and play a team from Kilkenny, you're going to have them strong up the middle, and a really strong group of young lads, they'll be strong up the wings as well, and you'll get a fair lesson, you know. No better club team than a team from Kilkenny to give you a lesson in hurling and show you how to break the tackle and be strong 11-year-olds. You know, look, they all know the score. You're not supposed to keep the scores. Goal game rules and non-competitive, but you come off the pitch and they're able to tell you, we lost that by 2 points or we won by four. So keeping scores isn't supposed to happen, but there's no stopping the young lads. The competitive edge is there, and that's basically it. Like, you can try and get involved as much as you want and create fairness, but when the boys cross the white line, it's hell for leather. And look, I wouldn't have it any other way. And sometimes you have to step in and say, lads, look, cool off there. Look, it's, you know, but they're very competitive, some of them, and other guys are just enjoying the game and the atmosphere, and you know, they all have different perspectives. But look, to get them, you know, 10, 11, they're they're starting to get a better grasp on the skill level, and you know, some of them develop a bit later than others, and it's great when you see a late developer coming up and stepping up to the market and improving drastically in the last 2-3 months of the year, you know. So yeah, it's nice.
Is it ever tricky to try and get that balance right between a competitive edge and something like monitoring scores? Because, as you mentioned, every lad is different, and I'm sure coaches are the same. It's a sort of delicate one, because you don't want lads to turn away from hurling, but you also want them to get that competitive streak to a degree.
Yeah, I kind of have a habit of trying to protect players, like, you know. So, like, you won't get a race 100% of the time, but 95% of the time you'd want to be getting it right, and the other 5% say race, well, we'll learn from that the next time. So you just have to get an idea of what the other teams are like, so, and what their coaches are like. So say, like, if you end up playing a team for the first time and they're very strong, and, you know, like, you're losing by 5 goals and the other guys don't take off their best players and the game is well won, and you're just kind of going, well, look, they really should be taking them off, you know. And next thing you lose by 9 goals, you say, well, look, there was no need to get a hammer and like that, you know, like. So luckily enough, the young lads, 10 minutes after the game, generally they'd have a smile on their face. But, like, as a coach, the competitive edge is in you, but you're also trying to protect your players, like, you know, and not get hurling put out of your mind for that day, you know. So look, just ideally you like to aim high, and like with the tournament, we invited 3 teams from outside Kilkenny for the first time, really, mainly because COVID is over and people could travel, and then there was lots of club Kilkenny teams involved with under 13 championships the same weekend. They would have 5 or 6 young lads on the panel. So first and foremost, we got to play Coola last year from Dublin, a team that the club wouldn't really have any connection with. We normally go to Kilmacud, Ballyboden, and St Enda's. They would have been the main two. I found the coaches very reasonable to deal with. We travelled up there and we played 4 matches. We won 2 and we lost 2. There was only a couple of points in each game. And we came out and said, right, do you want to come down? And they're crazy hurling up there. They tell me that they play 12 months of the year, which is a bit, you know, it's a bit hard to believe. Yeah. But that's what they're preaching. And look, we got them down, and they came down last October. They also came down in March for the Kilkenny Dublin League match. And we travelled up to a tournament in Coola during the summer, and it was just perfect because each team won in a group of 5 teams. Each team won 2 and lost 2 and ended up beating other teams that other teams won easily against, you know. So it was a nice, even tournament, and that was the aim of the Seamus Fry, to get clubs in that would be competitive, that nobody was going to be beat by 15-20 points in any game, and because that's no good. But we ended up also inviting Mungard, because last year's under 11 team went down to Limerick for a tournament that was run fierce well, an 18 tournament, and I was looking for someone to commit, so I asked them would they come, because we've been invited down there on the 21st of October. And Rob said, yeah, fire away, put us down and we'll travel up. And I had Kilmacud organised, and they dropped out due to a club senior quarter-final clash that a lot of the parents would have liked to have gone to. So luckily enough, I scrambled and we got Mike Harkey, who were very keen to play us in August, and it didn't happen, but we got a glimpse of him in the Dixburg tournament, and we beat him in a third place playoff, actually a third finish playoff, quite easily, and their other team beat us by 2 points in the other group match. Look, you just have to listen to what the other coaches are saying. Like, they're very eager, but like, to be respectful to them, they said they were missing four or five of their best players at the Tixburg tournament, so we invited them, and look, we gave them like a week's notice, and they had their own tournament the week before. But without getting bogged down, as we got them there, and they were very competitive as well, you know. So they're missing two or three of their best players again. That would have made it a bit closer. And look, as to get back to the tournament, look, things went like clockwork. We had a good start in the coaches on board, Declan Doyle, Conor Dwyer, and David Cowig and myself were out on the Saturday evening and getting the four pitches lined up. Seamus Power then on the Sunday took charge of one team, and we had a brochure that was made up by Keane Ryle, another parent. So we six coaches on board, and we started the tournament on time. We had four adult referees, and it was a complete success now, because every game flowed and there was no questions, there was no parents roaring in, why isn't that a free? It was just, everything was on the button, you know.
So a very successful tournament then, Michael, and it's in its 30th year, it has an awful lot of history, and it's in memory of a man that gave great service to the club down through the years.
Yeah, and I'm a village man all my life, and isn't it terrible, like, to say that I was saying, who is Seamus Roy? And it wasn't until I spoke to a brother of mine who would have played back in the 80s and was around for the 1987 100 year centenary of the club, that he said, oh yeah, he said, sure, Seamus was the chairman and I knew him. And that was the first person that I could say, like, we know Seamus, we knew him as a person, he was sound out, and it was really and truly only till I met the Fry family, you know, and starts tic-tacking and letting them know what was happening with the tournament, and got to meet Paddy at the tournament, and, like, he was... eyes were beaming out of his head, and he was mad for the village to win it. And unfortunately, we came up against a very good team from Munger and Limerick that won both the matches against ourselves and beat Coola and Mike Harkey as well. So they won the tournament outright, and he was delighted standing for pictures with their coaches and their players. And then we had a great turnout from his son Eamon and Julie Connick and her husband John, and then Eamon Fry was there as well. So look, there was grandchildren there as well, so it was just an amazing turnout. But the final boost really was just seeing the Fry family there smiling, looking at all the games and having a totally keen eye for all the hurling that was taking place. And Paddy, as usual, presents the club with a cheque every year to go towards the cost of running the tournament. And, like, the James Stevens Club is a very generous club, in the sense that we didn't charge any club's entry fees, and the parents provided loads of sandwiches and goodies for the young lads, and the Connick family donated loads of potatoes. So young lads loved Chris, and there wasn't a young lad going home hungry, crying or upset for any reason. It was a day of hurling, and hurling won out on the day, really, Liam, you know. You just turn around after the tournament and you smile and you say, well, look, thanks to all the parents, thanks to the coaches, timekeepers, and mainly the Fry family for keeping it going for 30 years. And as I say, long, long may it continue.
The Hurls Boots and Slitters were on standby in late September as our village under 9 hurlers headed for the Kilmacud Festival of Hurling. David Harkin has all the details.
It's a great festival of hurling up there. In fairness to the lads in Kilmacud Crokes. They bring teams from all over the country, and we were delighted to be invited up again.
The Kilmacud tournament, and even if you want to call it experience, it's sort of synonymous with underage hurling. I mean, every year it feels like an age grade within the club gets an opportunity to go up there, and it's always very well held.
Yeah, it is. Well, I suppose there's relationships that have been built up over the years, and it certainly plays a factor with the clubs that you do reach out to and the clubs that come back to you. Kilmacud one is very good. I mean, it gives you exposure to clubs from Galway, from Cork, from Dublin and from the North and from really all over the country. So it's great to see how our lads are developing, I suppose, outside of Kilkenny and get a good look at what's going on out there in the countryside. I mean, it was young lads there from Athenry that the lads came home talking about, and another young lad from the North. So it's great to hear that hurling is alive and well across the country, you know.
And as competitive as Kilkenny hurling is across the grades, it's great to see those different jerseys, and they manage to get those new experiences.
Yeah, sure, it's brilliant for the kids, right? They all have a million jerseys now, the jerseys from everywhere. So it's great to see the club jerseys on them as well. You'd start to see them in training from time to time. But sure, the young lads, all they want to do is play hurling and play hurling and play hurling. So every opportunity they get for a match is just fantastic, you know.
Yeah, you've had a couple of weeks to digest the tournament, and as you know, under nine hurling, a lot of it is down to the fun and participation. Were you happy with what you got out of the whole day and the experience itself?
Yeah, well, we were lucky this year because we had go games. And I suppose, the challenge for us is getting a game that's competitive, because you have to kind of have equal ability. So it's all about everybody getting a chance to hurl. And invariably, the clubs you're meeting, they're in the same ethos as you. And that's why, I suppose, Kilmacud is a good example of clubs that come up and everybody brings the same. We've certain lads who are still kind of working on the basics of hurling, working on their striking, and they might need a little bit more time on the ball than others. And the goal games, to be fair, gives a great opportunity as well. It stops at our level and our grade, lads can't solo with the ball. So it means that a good lad can't run the length of the pitch. He has to play the ball, and that brings passing into the equation. So they're all the little skills that they have to learn. Sure, it's fierce enjoyable, and watching them learn is brilliant. Like, you know, you can see they're all coming off the pitch, and when they get a little skill, sure, it's a massive achievement. As coaches, we'd be beaming. Like, so you can imagine what the young lads are like going home. They're sure, in their heads, they're TJ Reid or Keane Kenny or one of these superstars. Yeah. You know, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, and I was just chatting to one of the underage coaches a couple of weeks ago, and the whole mindset and approach to it, I mean, even as from a coaching point of view, you probably watch those games and the development of an individual player far different than the likes of a senior or junior coach would.
You would, I suppose. Look, the simple thing is, the good lads will get good anyway. It's the lads in the middle and the lads who are struggling, they're the lads who really need the help. They need a lot of coaching. And I suppose we have a great group of coaches involved there, and everyone is fierce enthusiastic. And especially when a lad who's kind of struggling to strike it maybe off his left side or off his right side, depending on where he's dominant, when he gets that achievement, sure, he'd nearly jump with joy for him. Like, you know, and I suppose the young lads themselves, they're such a lovely attitude. They're bringing on each other because they're great to encourage a lad. And if a lad hits it off his left-hand side, they see it too, and they let him know that he's after doing, jeez, that was a great one. And I suppose that's the reward when they're coaching themselves nearly at this stage. Like, it's brilliant.
How has the last 10, 11 months been, and have you managed to get as many games as you would have liked it? I'd imagine the training has a fun element as well, but you can't beat those matches.
Yeah, well, matches are great, but they're brilliant, and we try and get kind of two a month, which gives us plenty of time for training. At that age, I suppose the core skills are crucial, and when it comes to matches, the lads who tend to stand back, they mightn't poke a ball for an hour. So it's important that they have hurling at least once a week, if not twice a week, you know. So getting matches is difficult. But in fairness, the beauty of playing tournaments is you get to learn coaches, and you see that they have similar numbers to yourselves, and the coaches who have a good ethos, and you know, you get great matches out of it. Like, you know, especially if they're anywhere level, like, the kids come off beaming, because the score doesn't matter. That, you know, they forget about it very quickly. It's all about teamwork, and it's all about, like, playing together as a team and a unit. It's lovely to see it, you know.
And even the hallmarks and those little lessons that are picked up along the way, those can be defining moments down the line. If a guy can't hit off his left side, it can be, you know, really detrimental to their game. And the younger they learn those little traits and those lessons, the better.
Yeah, well, look, hurling is an incredibly skillful game. Like, it's just, there's so much to it. And some lads are very fluid and have it naturally, and some lads just really have to work at it. And you know, if they're prepared to put in a bit of work themselves, and if you can guide them and you know, encourage them, because that's all they wanted. Like, if they achieve their little goal themselves, sure, they're 10 feet tall walking home the night to do it. Like, you know, or if they get an old pint in training, or, you'd be amazed what kind of, for one lad, his sense of achievement is very different to the other. And it's hard to believe it's man management, but it is at 9 years of age and 8 years of age, because you have to see what's good for the kids. Does they all need an arm around them, you know, and they all need to be brought along in their own little way. And maybe it's encouragement, or maybe it's, you know, mammy needs to have a chat to him, or, you know, there's so many factors to it. But, like, certainly from a skill level, I mean, to get the basics of it, when you see some of the skills that the kids have at this age, it's mind-blowing. Going back to when we were in school, it was ground hurling and stuff like that, but these lads are sideline cuts over the bar, catching the ball, and skills you'd only dream of doing when you were their age, and now they're natural. Like, you know, it's testimony to the parents and the parish, and I suppose the fact that they can go out and puck the ball against the wall up in the club, or use the alleys, or go out to the wall ball and the Kells Road, and sure, that's the future of the club, you know, the next generation, because in 5 or 6 years' time, the lads who are, you know, 9 and 10 now, they'll all be starting to go into the minor section and hurling, and sure, that's the future of the club. So, it literally starts from when they're 4 and 5. Mm. And again, the more skill you can get into them, the more they learn to play the game, hopefully the easier it gets on them as they go older, you know.
And I'd imagine as a coach, you would learn a lot from the players as well, and they give to you some lessons that you mightn't be able to return. So it's a two-way street.
Oh, it is. I mean, like, coaching is just very enjoyable, you know. It is. You get to know all the little different personalities, and you get to watch them grow, like, grow as individuals and grow into young men, like, you know. And the standard of children that's up there, like, the parents are a credit to them. Like, they really are wonderful. They're a wonderful bunch that we have. And I know, speaking to the other coaches, it's the same. Like, we're very lucky in the club for what a beautiful, brilliant ethos we have, and how the club works as it functions. And there's so many kids involved out there. Like, it's across the boys and the girls with Camogie now joining forces. It's just brilliant. It's worth going out any midweek, out to the Kells Road, just to see the activity, because it's frightening, especially at high season, you know. Obviously, this time of the year, it tails off, but in the height of the summer, to see all the cars out there and such, it's a hive of activity. And it's great. It's tremendous, the work that's going out there now with the shop opened up and the whole new facilities out there. Sure, it's only going to get bigger and better, you know.
Finally, David, we're heading into the winter months now. Is it a case of turning the hurling schlitter into the bigger ball?
Yeah, we're playing football this evening, actually. The kids were loving it. So, sure, it's a cross between kind of football and rugby and all sorts. they all come off smiling. And I tell you, the great thing about Gaelic football is there's about a dozen kids out there that come to life. They'd be very standoffish when it comes to hurling, but when the football comes out, all of a sudden they have a bit more confidence. And sure, that's what it's all about, giving a young lad confidence. And if they can come good and come better and get fitter off it, sure, look, as long as they're smiling and enjoying it, that's what it's all about. You know, they're coming back, and that's the most important thing.
That concludes this week's episode of the James Stevens Podcast. Don't forget to like and share wherever you do your podcast listening. And until next time, from Niamh Kelly York, look after yourselves, look after each other, and we'll talk to you next week.